6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
We do have a guest, SP3. He's here. You know him from WWE. You know him from WCW as Johnny B. Bad. He has his book that is out. It came out in March. Mark Mero, From Bad to Good, inspiring story of a wrestling wild man. You can get it now on Amazon. He is Mark Mero, everybody. Mark, how you doing?
Jeremy, I'm doing great. SP3, good to see you, man.
Good to see you, Mark.
We appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, again, thank you. Thank you for being here. Shout out to Kenny McIntosh for helping setting all this up. Kenny's a great dude and a pal of the show. How's everything been with the book now that it's out? How's the reception been to it?
It's been fantastic, man. You know, I toured England for a little bit, did 3 days over in England to kick off the book tour. And it was fantastic, man. I tell you, some of the UK fans are some of the greatest fans out there. And Kenny and Dante traveled with those guys and had a great time in different cities. We were in Aberdeen, we're in Manchester, we're in Newcastle. So it was fantastic. Every place was packed and sold a lot of books. And the book is doing really well. Just sharing honest stories from my heart, from things I went through in the past, and you know, my hope for the future.
Oh, sorry, SP3. I thought you had something. All right, let's get into some stuff from your career. So I'm gonna take you back to 1995. This is me. I was a WCW fan growing up. I lived in Virginia, Norfolk, Virginia. So you guys ran the scope all the
great
time.
Yeah,
big Johnny B. Bad guy. Loved your feud with Diamond Dallas Page and and Kimberly. So World War III, you faced DDP and beat him, and then you kissed Kimberly. Me, as a 7-year-old, 8-year-old in the crowd, I didn't quite understand what was going on when you held the card up and you like blocked the view of what was going on when you were kissing Kimberly here. So my question to all this is just basically memories of the feud with DDP and working with him and maybe influencing my childhood a little bit with what happened with that kiss.
Well, my apologies if it ever went south for you. But trust me, I got Dallas's complete authority to do that, okay? So the feud with Dallas was so much fun. He's one of my closest friends, and obviously we both have known each other for 30 years, and the feud we had in WCW was fantastic. We usually had the opening match on the pay-per-view, and our thoughts always were, let's steal the show, man. Let's have the best match on the card. And we would go down the power plant and work on our matches and our moves and things like that. We both become very improved in wrestling. I was one of the most improved wrestlers in the Pro Wrestling Illustrated voting, and he was also one of the best And so we not only became great friends, but really challenged each other in the ring, outside the ring, and then after wrestling, you know, with what he's doing to help people and what I'm doing to help people. It's just, he lives 20 minutes down the road from me. And well, he just bought a new place in Florida, but he's half the year here. So we still challenge each other in our in his DDPY workouts and still killing each other, man, at our age, you know. But getting back to the matches, you know, I beat him for the money, I beat him for the girl, I beat him for the title. And our running joke is that, you know, Dallas, there's three guys I probably wrestled more than anyone else in my whole career. The three guys were Diamond Dallas Page, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Triple H. And the joke we have with Dallas is that he never got to beat me. It never was in the cards for him to win one match out of all those matches we've had. Now, remember, people just see the pay-per-view or the television matches, but they don't realize we're wrestling each other almost every single night on the roads across the country, across the world, actually. So we had a lot of fun. And then when he was finally going to be able to beat me on the pay-per-view, I signed my contract with WWE and left. So, unfortunately, he's still looking for that pinfall over me.
I was going to ask, because you did mention you wrestled Stone Cold Steve Austin so many times, and one of the more memorable ones was at the King of the Ring 1996, where Austin gets the, I think he says, a jaw injury, and, you know, of course, it's the night that everybody remembers for the Austin 316 promo. So, kind of tell us your memories of that matchup, and was there any heat on you for Austin getting hurt in that match?
Oh, not at all. In fact, he credits me with him coming up with 316 only because of the fact that I kicked him in the mouth. He had to get, like, I think it was like 14 stitches. So because it delayed it, Jake was able to do a promo on him, and that's where it all started. But if I didn't kick him in the mouth, he never would have had time to come up with that and say that. That's what he told me. So, you know, I'm going by what Steve's told me. I'm not making something up. And I love working with him, man. He was a machine, and in the likes of like a Kurt Angle, he could go nonstop. So I always enjoyed working with him because I was always in pretty good shape in my, you know, cardio and stuff. But working with Steve, and not only working with him, but learning so much from him and Triple H. I mean, guys that were just great ring generals in there, out there, you know, calling the matches as the heel and just following it. And but also having to change on the fly when things don't go exactly what you hope, or the crowd's not reacting a certain way. Those guys know how to change things up and really make it exciting for the audience.
So there's a match that's listed, and it's you against Jushin Thunder Liger as part of Great American Bash Tour that never aired. And I'm wondering, does footage exist of this and any memories of that match of working with Liger? Because I believe that's the only time you two have been in the ring.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because when I was going to wrestle Jushin Thunder Liger, I was so excited about it because, you know, he's kind of a high flyer, man, and I like that his style and everything. But for some reason, whether it was the language barrier or whatever, we never really connected. I don't know why the match didn't air. It wasn't that bad, but you know, I was thinking maybe it didn't air because it was horrible, but it was just not one of my more memorable matches. That I think we wrestled to a draw. I can't even remember what the
finish was. It's listed as a 16 minute time limit draw.
Yeah, so but I just didn't think, and even when I went over to Japan, because you're in two separate parts of the building, that the dress rooms are separated, and they have a translator go back and forth and say, hey, this is what he'd like to do, what would you like to do, and it kind of gets convoluted in the sense that it gets mixed up a little bit, or it isn't, and you can't really talk much in the ring because of the language barrier. So I always had trouble with the Japanese wrestlers, and it could have been my inexperience too, you know, being fairly green when I first went over there. Remember I never even signed my first contract until I was 31 years old. I started when I was 30, and I, you know, had a lot to learn. But later on, I obviously, and then also seeing Brian Pillman wrestle Jushin Thunder Liger was one of the greatest matches around at that time, you know. So thinking, man, I want to do this also. But I think I made up for it when I wrestled Brian in, I believe it was a Fall Brawl. Fall Brawl 95 was one of my most memorable matches with Brian. It was a 30-minute match on pay-per-view.
I wanted to ask you about the Johnny B. Bad character, because I wasn't like a WCW kid so much because I grew up in New York, but my grandmother used to watch like WWF in the morning and then would turn on WCW at 6:05 p.m. So you were one of the first wrestlers that I saw on WCW around like 1994, 1995. And I thought that Little Richard was based on you as a character, but then I figured out that later on it was the other way around. But how did you or WCW come up with that character? And did you have to watch a lot of like the mannerisms and see Little Richard to kind of get the cues the way that you did with the character?
Well, it was a Dusty Rhodes brainchild that I'll never forget. When I was doing jobs for WCW, trying to get into the business, after one of the matches, he said to me, "Hey, does anybody ever tell you look like Little Richard?" And I thought he was talking about a wrestler.
What's standing between you and your first sale on Shopify? Time, expertise, resources? What if you could multiply all three? Product descriptions? Done. Store insights? Delivered. 2 a.m. customer questions? Handled instantly. Entrepreneurs on Shopify are reaching their first sale faster with AI that works with you. Go to shopify.com/firstsale to see how entrepreneurs use AI to grow their businesses faster. That's shopify.com/firstsale.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. It prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Wrestler named Little Richard, and I said, "I never heard of the wrestler Little Richard." He goes, no, not the wrestler. He goes, "Womp bamba loo bamba womp bamba," the singer Little Richard. I go, "Oh, I never heard that before." He goes, "Oh, I think I got a gimmick for you," but it was really more so than watching. I did watch mannerisms of Little Richard, but it was Dusty Rhodes that really got it down, because he would meet me before the matches and show me how he wanted me to walk and talk and say this and say that. And I'll tell you, some of my fondest memories in wrestling was working with Dusty Rhodes. He was like my mentor, you know. He was the guy that came up with the character. So I spent a lot of time with him. And some of the funniest moments were watching him be me, being Little Richard. And because, you know how flamboyant Dusty Rhodes was, you know. So he would, you know, he'd say, "Now walk up to the microphone and say, I'm so pretty, I should have been born a little girl." And I get laughing, because remember, here I am, a boxer from New York, coming in talking like I'm from Macon, Georgia, you know? So we would have so much fun with that. And then he'd say, "Oh, no, do it like this, do it like that." And then I'd get it down and he'd give me a big hug, you know? We'd have a lot of fun doing that. It was my favorite character, obviously. It's so different than who I am. So it was like playing a role every single night of this character that was so opposite me and talking like I'm from Macon, Georgia, you know, "How's everybody doing? I'm so pretty," you know? So it was a lot of fun.
As I mentioned, World War III, 1995, that was the first WCW event, first pay-per-view, first wrestling event I'd ever been to. And I always thought the World War III gimmick was like
really cool, three rings and 60 people overall. And then you go to the Royal Rumble where 30 people, timed entrances and everything. So I kind of want to get, there's obviously big differences between the two, but I wanted from your perspective as someone who has been in both, like, what did you like about one thing maybe compared to the other? And what was something that may have been more difficult about one thing compared to the other?
You know, the main thing about like the Royal Rumble is you just had to know when you were getting thrown out. Okay. So you knew the lineup, like let's say, let me just say that, Bob Holly and Dustin Rhodes were getting thrown out before me. Okay. So I'm constantly keeping my eye on those two guys, knowing that, you know, Bob Holly's going first and then Dustin's going next. Then I know it's my turn. And so you got to be ready to know when you're going out and keep an eye on it while you're still pretending you're in the corner trying to throw somebody else out. Keep looking over your shoulder to see when they're getting thrown out, because you don't want to miss your cue, because then someone's depending on you being thrown out that they're after you. So it was just constantly being aware of where you are or what who's getting thrown out or when they're getting thrown out or how they're getting thrown out. So you want to be kind of aware of that. So that was always kind of a little nerve wracking sometime, except I think the time that Stone Cold came in and threw everybody out, it was like easy, you know, just get in line, you know.
I wanted to ask, because you've been in WCW in like the height of their run in the 90s, and WWF, like you said, you faced like Stone Cold and Hunter Hearst Helmsley, Triple H. Who is the one guy that you wished you could have been in the ring with, whether it from your WCW run or WWF run, that you kind of like came close to or couldn't be able to be in the ring with them?
There's a couple. And, you know, I was so blessed that I mean, I've wrestled everybody. I mean, Sting, Ric Flair, Undertaker, Triple H, you know, the list goes on and on of all the guys that I got to work with that were amazing wrestlers, you know, Stone Cold, Steve Austin, Steve Regal, you name it. And I've been in the ring with them. But the guys that I didn't get to wrestle against, fortunately, I got to wrestle with as tag team partners. And that was Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels are two guys that I would have loved to work with. I think our styles would have really matched up well. And I think we could have had some really good matches. One of the matches I remember that I had a really good match with was Davey Boy Smith in South Africa that never got to air except over there. But it was a really great match, and beat him with the Wild Thing off the top rope until Owen Hart came in and hit me over the head with his cast. And of course, I won on disqualification. But matches like that were always a lot of fun. But I was just blessed to wrestle some of the greatest, and, you know, and being in wrestling at that time, the Attitude Era, you know, here I am. I remember I wrestled against The Rock, you know, and you're looking in the dressing room, there's The Rock, there's Stone Cold, there's Triple H, there's Undertaker. You know, it's like amazing to be in wrestling at that time, because there's still kind of household names in the wrestling community.
What was your experience like with New Japan? Because I think when people maybe see the Johnny B. Badd character, it's like, oh, I don't know how that's going to fully translate to the New Japan style. So what was that tour like?
They really enjoyed the, you know, the confetti gun and the throwing the frisbees and all the gimmicks. You know, I try to make my entrance longer than my match so I didn't have to memorize a lot. But the Japanese fans were great. They're just different than American fans. You know, they would cheer if you made it to the rope, where American fans are like, oh gosh, you know, it's not a big deal. They're big on false finishes. The very quiet audience, though, compared to the American audience. But once they find out what room you're in at a hotel, man, I'll tell you something, they're relentless to get an autograph, or if they caught some of your, I used to shoot out these, what they call the bad bucks. Well, people don't realize that on television, when I shot my confetti gun, I put real money in there, so people would go crazy trying to find it. But then when I would go to arenas, I had fake money printed with a picture of me, Johnny B. Badd, on it, $1,000 bill, and it says, "In Johnny we trust." Shoot that out. So they would collect all this confetti and stuff, and they wanted me to sign it, you know, or whoever caught the frisbees would want me to sign it. So great fans. I mean, it was a lot of blessed to have done that. You know, again, one of those things where you look back on your life, you said, I'm so glad I got to go all over the world, you know, many trips to Europe, South Africa, Southeast Asia, been everywhere, done everything. I mean, with Delta Airlines alone, I have 1.5 million miles with them, just one airlines, you know, and not considering all the other airlines that I've flown. So a lot of travel.
I wanted to ask you, because like you said, you've enjoyed your time as Johnny B. Badd, and I like saw you there in WCW and then saw you transition to WWF becoming the Wild Man. But one of my favorite times of your career is when you were probably, in my eyes, the most underrated heel in WWE during the whole storyline with Sable. So how was that kind of experience changing it up after so long of being a babyface and becoming such a hated heel in the business?
Oh my gosh, that was so much fun to do that. I mean, we were Sable and I were married at the time, and we would come up with ideas to just hate me more and more. And you know, just always putting her over. You know, it's like always slipping on the banana peel type thing. You know, dress her up in a potato sack, and she comes out and rips it off, and she's got a string bikini on. You know, so every time we would do it, and Vince Russo was so instrumental in that too, because we'd be talking to Vince Russo all the time about things we could do and what we can't do, and we were really pushing the envelope. And especially when we did the pay-per-view where we did the painted hands on her boobs, you know, and so I remember Vince Russo coming in the dressing room and we said, well, can we do this? And he goes, oh my gosh, he goes, I got to run this one by Vince. Of course, you know, Vince was like, damn, we are really pushing the envelope, but go for it, you know? So we had a lot of fun doing that. Obviously, the more heat I would get, but it also, you know, was building me up as this heel that I was going to eventually work with Stone Cold Steve Austin. And because of the fact of getting her over so much and letting her power bomb me and kind of beat me up a little bit, it ruined my chances of working with Stone Cold because he didn't want the perception of, if a girl can beat this guy up, why would I want to be in the ring with him? Which I could totally understand now. But at the time, man, there, you know, she's making more and more money. Her merchandise is selling like second to Stone Cold. So, you know, why, you know, getting at least one of us was over major, and I'm getting a guaranteed contract at the time. So I'm making the same money, whether I win or lose or whatever happens to me.
The shooting star press, you have, for my money, the prettiest shooting star press in wrestling history. And I know you're still like doing it like off the boat and everything. Like I've seen the videos. I've seen it.
Yeah, I know, brother. I got to tell you, I turned 65 in 2 months, and, you know, I don't know when I'll stop. I don't know. I just a little, my body hasn't caught up to my mind. My mind is still thinking that I can still do these things, but so far I still can. But my brother's got this like 2-story dock at his lake house, and we go there. Well, we're there all summer. So, you know, when it's time around my birthday, let's go, man. Time to do the wild thing, the marrow salt, you know, the double back flips or whatever we're doing. But thank you for that. I appreciate that. I the shooting star press was really unique. See, when I first got to WWE, I didn't really have a finishing move, because remember WCW, I'm doing the tutti frutti, you know, kick your booty with my tutti frutti, and of course it's a punch, you know, and you really got to come up with something different. So I wanted to come up with something really unique that was different. And when I was in Japan, I think it was Jushin Liger, I saw a shooting star press. It was one of the wrestlers. I can't remember who it was, but I thought that was Jushin Liger. But I remember thinking, man, it'd be really cool to do that. And I've always been a really good like diver on diving boards. I could do, you know, 1.5s and 2s and stuff. So here I am thinking, and it's really nothing but a full gainer is what it's called. In gymnastics or whatever, but in gymnastics you land on your feet. So I had my daughter Mariah enrolled in gymnastics, so I would take her gymnastics when I was off the road. And I remember going to her gymnastics school, and I said to their coach, I said, hey, while the kids are doing their calisthenics and stuff, can I use the pommel horse and a crash pad and practice a move I want to do in wrestling? And of course they said, sure, go ahead. So here I am on the pommel horse. Now, remember, in gymnastics, you do a flip or double, right? You land on your feet, you put your hands up, you know. Now, here I am jumping off this thing and landing on my stomach. And now the kids are all starting to catch wind of this, and they're all staring at me going, like, to my daughter, what's wrong with your dad?
Ready to roll into savings? Visit Dave Gill Chevrolet at 4700 East Broad Street in Columbus, your hometown Chevy experts. Right now, take advantage of tariff-busting deals on some of our most popular models. Experience the bold new 2025 Silverado 1500 with its powerful V8 engine and cutting-edge tech. Or discover the all-electric 2025 Chevy Equinox EV for an eco-friendly commute without compromising style or range. Looking for value? Browse our extensive inventory of certified pre-owned vehicles. From sporty coupes to family-friendly SUVs, each rigorously inspected for your peace of mind. Cruise over to Dave Gill Chevrolet or visit us online today at DaveGillChevy.com and drive home happy.
Says, you know how to land, and they're all laughing, but I'm like, yes, I got it, man. They're like, this guy's nuts. But anyways, I finally got it down, because remember, you want to land with your hands and your knees and let your chest hit the guy's chest and not hurt him, because it's a lot of momentum coming off the top, and I'm 225 pounds, you know. So I finally got it down, and the first pay-per-view we had coming up was SummerSlam. I never did it to a person in my life. I'm wrestling Dustin Rhodes, Goldust, at SummerSlam. And I said to Dustin, took him to the ring beforehand, and I said, listen, I want to try a new move today if you're okay with it. And he said, well, what is it? I go, I'm going to Samoan drop you near the corner. I'm going to go to the top. I'm going to do a reverse flip and land on you. And he looks at me and goes, what? He goes, how are you going to land? I said, well, we're going to hit chest to chest. He goes, don't tell me no more. Just go for it. And of course, I did it in the ring. And that was the first time I ever did it ever on a person other than the pommel horse. I never even did it on a person at the gymnastic thing. I always landed on my stomach on the pommel horse. But it was the first time ever, and of all times, picked SummerSlam to do it with. Thank God, goodness, Dustin didn't mind it. And he was just such a good hand anyways, man. What a great guy he is.
So real quickly, SB3. Your shooting star press, when you do it off of the boat, off the dock, it's something running from kid. It's something I look forward to every single year. I don't know if you know the basketball player Marcus Johnson. He was in White Men Can't Jump. He was, if you've ever seen that movie.
I seen the movie, but I don't remember. I mean, obviously he was one of the leads then, wasn't he?
No. He is the guy who is going to get his gun after they get hustled.
Oh, okay, okay. Yes.
Yeah, he's an NBA Hall of Famer. Every year he posts a video of himself dunking. He's 69 years old. He's like 69, can still dunk. So you, to me, are like equivalent to that. Like every year I look forward to when you're doing the shooting star press, because I think of Marcus Johnson always wanting to do the dunk every year. So I thought I'd just let you in on that.
What's funny about that, Jeremy, is that every year that Doc seems to get higher and higher. It's the same height, but I mean, I walk over and then I watch all these little kids that we have, our grandkids and nephews and nieces. They just like run out, like, you know, little kids, they don't care, you know, they're not afraid of nothing. And I get up there and it's like, oh my gosh, you know, especially doing like the wild thing is a little easier, because I still got strong legs and I can throw myself up and flip and land on my feet. Because remember, you don't want to land on the water like you're landing on a wrestler. But the marrow salt is a little trickier, because you jump, turn in midair, hit it, and if you over-rotate, then you can really hurt yourself. And we have a depth finder anyway, so every year we take our boat out and we use a depth finder, because a lot of debris can float in, like tree branches or something that, you know, you don't know are there. And, you know, when you jump that from that height, you're going in, you know, eight or 10 feet into the water. So you don't want to hit anything. So we always use a depth finder, but we hire a crew, a scuba crew, that actually go in there and they pull out any debris or anything that might have floated in over the winter, to be safe, because we got a lot of kids jumping out there too. So we want to be safe, but the water's like, man, 20 feet deep right there. So it's usually never a problem.
So this is, I would be amiss if I didn't ask this question, because a couple of years ago, you kind of told me that Santa Claus isn't real. Because like I said, when I was growing up, 6:05 p.m. Eastern time, my grandmother would put on WCW Saturday Night, and you were her favorite wrestler. Why? Because she was like, you got this black brother. He's here. He's doing great on there. And then I found out that you are not African-American. So I wanted to ask you, when did you realize that the fans thought you deserved a plate at the
cookout? I got so many funny I got so many funny stories about this, you know, because I tell you, I love the brothers, man. I tell you that. The African American community was some of my biggest fans, you know. So obviously they thought, and obviously I was tanned all the time, anyways. Not like I am right now, but I always stayed in the sun or go to sunbeds or whatever. And I get really dark, anyways, you know. And I'll never forget that. What happened was back in the early 90s, there was a discrepancy between African Americans' pay and Caucasian pay. And they had a news crew coming, and they wanted to find out, you know, they said, Johnny, are you black or are you white? Because there was a big controversy about it, you know? And I said, am I black or am I white? What kind of question is that? All you need to know is I'm a bad man. And I would just use that, you know? But the funny thing was, is I recently seen blackwrestling.com or one of those websites, they had the top black intercontinental champions. They had me on there. So I wrote them a really nice thing going, listen, I so appreciate this honor, but I just got to tell you, I'm not an African American. And then the comments were so funny because they go, you just ruined my childhood, you know? Oh, Brian, I tell you, it's because, you know, obviously being associated with Little Richard and it was just, I was blessed. I was blessed to have that character, to have that fun. And even going to like senior citizens homes, I did a lot of community work with the Johnny B. Badd character. And I go to the senior citizens homes, and a lot of times they were, you know, African American senior citizens home, and they just embraced me and loved on me. And I don't know, just I wish more people in the world could be like that, that just, you know, love each other, man. Just it's so important. I think Johnny B. Badd, the character, was really about love and giving back. And, you know, and it's really kind of how I've always been. Now after wrestling, you know, this is my 18th year speaking at schools, churches, and corporations all over the world. I mean, when people think, I mean, after wrestling, I have averaged 230 events a year at going everywhere. You know, I spoke at schools in Guatemala. I spoke at schools in Russia. I mean, you can get into Russia now, and I would speak at schools in Russia. And it's the same reaction as here in the United States. The kids want hope, man. Kids just want to feel like they're loved, that someone cares, and that there's hope, you know? And we live in a really tough world. And this smartphone has outsmarted us, guys. It really has. It's really sad how people are so committed to what other people think about them or what people say about them, as opposed to believing in themselves. You know, you have no idea the power you give yourself when you believe in you. And that's what I try to bring to schools is hope and to follow your dreams, your goals, pursue it. I mean, how many things on social media, success stories are we going to watch on social media before we go out there and make our own? They're no different than us. They're, you know, I mean, you either build your own dreams or you work for someone to build theirs. And I often tell people, how bad do you want it, man?
Getting to the book, I want to know sort of what the process was of putting the book together, writing the book, and kind of how you found it.
Well, you know, Ben Veal is my co-writer, and he's an award-winning writer. He's just an amazing guy, amazing friend. Well, I was over in the UK doing an autograph session a little over a year ago, and I met him there. And we got talking. He really wanted to write my story. And I've always wanted to do an autobiography. I wrote my first book, How to Be the Happiest Person on the Planet, back in 2004, I think it was. Yeah, 14, it was a long time ago. 2010, I wrote that book. So 2010, so you're talking 14 years ago, I wrote my last book. I've always wanted to do an autobiography. And we started, you know, working together. And we started, because he lives in England and I live here. So we would do Zoom calls. We'd speak for over an hour and I would tell him a story. And when he wrote the story and I read it back, I go, oh my gosh, I couldn't put that into words better. And I shared some really deep dark secrets about my life and things I went through that I never thought I would share, but I wanted to, only because, guys, we all go through adversity, man. We all go through situations in our hearts that we've gone through, our broken heart, loss of a loved one, a divorce, all these things that I've experienced in my life that, man, if I could share my story and give someone else hope that there is light after the darkness, man. You know, our current trials can be our future testimony. And that's what I wanted this book to be. Not only share my stories about what I went through and what I was thinking and the hardships I went through, but I wanted to give people hope and to know that they're not alone, they matter, and that life can get better, and it will get better. You have to believe that.
What's been the feedback so far from the people that have read the book to you?
You know, CP3, it's been amazing. I've been blown away by it. I mean, we got almost all 5-star reviews on Amazon, and I mean, it's a fairly thick book. I mean, you know, this book, it's almost 400 pages. So I share a lot of personal stories in it, from everything from my drug dealing days to my giving my life to God, becoming an ordained minister. In fact, today is the anniversary of me becoming an ordained minister 12 years ago. So there's so much ups and downs in my life, man. And I just want to continue going up. But we all go through the valleys. No matter how good your life is, we go through valleys, man, you know, and things unexpectedly happen in life. And it's about, you know, it's not so much about your circumstance or situation. It's how we respond to it that makes all the difference. And I've learned to have a whole different response to adverse situations, because we're all going to go through trials in life, man. It's life's not easy. And I tell it to students. You guys don't realize that life is not easy, and you're going to go through some hard times, but it's overcoming those adversities that really make you special in life.
So before we let you go, Mark, we play a game here on the channel. It's called Partner Promo Punch in the Face. I'm gonna give you three names. You're gonna pick one to partner with, one to have a promo battle with, and one to punch in the face or have a match with.
If I pick promo, do I have to give a promo?
Yeah, you can do the Johnny B. Bad character, you can do the Mark Marrow character, whatever character you want.
Okay, I'll do it as Johnny B. Bad, okay?
Oh no, you don't have to do the promo now. If you want to, okay. We've actually never had
it. No, go ahead. Okay, so it's promo, punch in the face. What's the other one?
Partner,
promo, yeah. Punch in the face. Okay, got it. Let's go.
Yeah, if you want to cut a promo on this person, you'd be the first person to do it. So
I'm starting a whole new thing on your program, guys.
That would be something. You know what? We got to start getting people to cut promos, yes, on people now. If they, whoever they took promo.
He just blew up the whole game.
I know, man.
Three names you're very familiar with. Donnell Page, Steve Austin, and Triple H.
Okay. Which one do we do first? Does it matter?
Oh, no. Whoever, again, you can pick one.
You can choose one to partner with, yeah, one to do a promo against, and then one to punch in the face, have a match, yeah, with.
Oh, man, I got to go with one of my closest friends, Diamond Dallas Page. I want to partner with him because we have in some crazy ways have partnered. A quick story about Diamond Dallas Page is that when I used to live in Florida for 25 years, and now I live 20 minutes down the road from DDP. And when I used to live in Florida, when I'd come into Atlanta to speak at schools, I would stay at DDP's home. So, you know, DDP had has the DDPY, he has a whole film crew, he has a lot of employees, you know? So when I was doing schools near him, he said, hey, do you mind if the guys come out and film you? And I get photo and video releases from each school I speak at. So I said, sure, they're welcome to come. So he has his film crew go down and film me at one of the schools. And a few days later, Dallas calls me up and he says, hey, bro, he goes, these guys put together like this 5-minute video of you talking about your mom. Do you mind if we put it on YouTube? He goes, you never know, might go viral. Sure enough, you know, that thing blew up millions and millions and millions of views. And not only that, when it went up, my first month, we had 3,000 booking requests to speak at schools, churches, and corporations all over the world. It like blew up, and my company blew up, and I've been doing that ever since. But I got to give credit, and that's why I partnered with TDP, the most positive guy I know, other than myself, is is just a light in this dark world, man. And because of him filming that video, and I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, it's about a mother's love. And it's just gone viral. But I speak it, I share it at schools, at every school I go to.
All right, so you're gonna partner with DDP. You got to either punch Triple H or do a promo with Triple H, and then the other one will be Steve Austin.
Okay, I got to punch Triple H in the face. I hate to say it. For some reason, he never really liked me. I don't know why, but we always had good matches too. But I just think that there's maybe some animosity when I left or when I first signed with WWE. Remember, I was the first one to get a guaranteed contract. And I didn't sit well with a lot of the guys. And I'm so proud of what he has done with wrestling. Not just himself becoming a multi-time world champion. His first belt he ever won was off of me. It was the Intercontinental title was his first one. But just to put away the animosity, let me punch you in the face. Let's become friends, man. Okay.
I still haven't forgiven Mr. Perfect for helping him win that.
There you go.
And
Perfect hit me with a pretty good chair shot too.
Yeah.
And thinking I'm going to go into a program with Mr. Perfect. I was the happiest guy to get hit by that chair. And of course he jumps ship and goes to WCW. So that ended that.
Promo against Austin.
Stone Cold Steve Austin. Oh, my gosh. I got to do a promo on Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know, Stone Cold Steve Austin, probably one of the greatest that ever laced his boots. I mean, he should be on the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling. But if you remember when you were Stunning Steve, we had a tuxedo match. That's right. You remember that, Steve? A tuxedo match. And the idea of a tuxedo match is you have to rip off the other person's clothes. I remember when you and I were sitting in the dressing room talking about our match, thinking we got to tear off each other's clothes. We both look like, what the hell did we get ourselves into? I'll never forget that day, Steve. I'm so proud of you for what you have accomplished in your life, man. You're one of the best, and I was honored to share the squared circle with you. Even though I beat you a lot of times for that U.S. title, I never got the belt because you always went on disqualification, you son of a gun. But I did get to beat you for the Intercontinental title when I won it. You were one of the guys I beat. I got to beat you, Owen Hart, and Ron Simmons to win the title. So thank you for that, buddy. You always did business, and you did business right.
It's pointed out to us in the chat that you wrestled Triple H 75 times in a 10-month span. That's absurd.
It is. It is. And you know what? I tell you, I was 76 times. I probably won I would guess around 50 of those. I'm guessing. Okay. Does it have a record of that or no?
Yeah. I will check and see. I got to pull it up as Hunter Hearst Helmsley. When he was the champion, you won a lot by DQ when he was the champion.
Right.
And it's close early or late, but early. Oh yeah. You destroyed him early. Like all of 1996. I don't think he beat you at all. It's not until you get kind of into late 1996 that he starts winning.
Fightful really keeps some amazing records here. I didn't really like this.
Shout out to Cage Match. I'm on Cage Match right now. Cage Match is the keeper of all of us.
I always enjoyed wrestling Triple H, though. Man, what a talent he is. You know, the guys I learned from, man, like Triple H, Steve Regal, Stone Cold, guys I got to wrestle over and over again were just DDP. The list goes on and on. Brian Pillman, man, so many guys that I learned a lot from in the ring. Arn Anderson, my gosh, he was so much fun to wrestle.
I have to ask about the Arn Anderson match, the boxer versus wrestler match, which is an insane concept. But what was it like putting that together?
All the credit to Arn Anderson. He is one, I tell you, he could be the most underrated wrestler out there. I know he's great, and everybody knows, anyone that worked with him knows how great he is. But I don't think he ever got the due he deserves as one of the best. Really, one of the best. You know, I mean, obviously, I'm wrestling, fighting him with, I got gloves on and he's wrestling me, and we had to come up with that concept that would look halfway decent. And for somehow we made it work. And he got a bucket put over his head. I hit him with the Tutti Frutti and got the win. But if you watch that match back, the way his head spins around with that bucket on, it was so funny. And he took some really good shots. I mean, when I first worked with Rhett, I actually shared this story in my book too. When I first got to work with Arn, they put me on the road with him because they wanted to teach me. I'm green. I signed the contract. I only had like 3 or 4 matches in my whole life. You know what I mean? I mean, I was so green. And they put me on the road with Arn at one point to teach me. And I remember Arn, you know, he was one of the funniest guys in the locker room too. I mean, he had a sense of humor that was just the best, because he was one of those straight men that he would not laugh at his own jokes. You know, he'd say, man, Johnny B. Bad doesn't know the difference between a wrist lock and a wrist watch, you know, and he always had funny lines about me. And I remember, and I shared this one too in my book, was that I think it was Nick Patrick was our referee. And when the referee separates you, he's kind of third man in the ring that tells you what the next spot would be from the other wrestler. And he said, Arn told me to tell you, punch him in the face as hard as you can. I thought, why would he say that? And I go, what does he mean? He goes, he told me to tell you your working punch is killing him. So he just wanted to get it over with, you know. Anyways, guys, I tell you, it was some great memories in wrestling. And I just noticed my battery is about to run out here on my computer. I hope I gave you guys enough time today.
Oh, yeah. We appreciate it. Kenny said 30 to 40 minutes, so we appreciate that we've gone a little bit over that. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, you guys are a lot of fun, man. Thank you for having me on your show. And please, anyone that has not gotten my book, Bad to Good, please go to Amazon.com and order it. You'll be thrilled to read it. It's people that have read it said that they picked it up, they couldn't put it down. So check it out. A lot of good stories in there. And just want to bring hope to people that have gone through some hard times, just like we all do.
And anywhere else anybody can find you at, Mark, please promote anything you have to promote.
You know what? Go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com, The Mark Mero, or just type in Mark Mero, and I'm over on, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or X. I'm all over the place. Just type in my name. You'll find me. And if you write to me, I'll do my absolute best to get back to you.
There you go. Thank you, Mark. Thank you
so much. All right, guys.
Thank you for your time today. Thank
you.
You
guys are awesome, man. Well, thank you. I'd love to do it again sometime.
For sure. For sure. We appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. Prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Ready to roll into savings? Visit Dave Gill Chevrolet at 4700 East Broad Street in Columbus, your hometown Chevy experts. Right now, take advantage of tariff-busting deals on some of our most popular models. Experience the bold new 2025 Silverado 1500 with its powerful V8 engine and cutting-edge tech. Or discover the all-electric 2025 Chevy Equinox EV for an eco-friendly commute without compromising style or range. Looking for value? Browse our extensive inventory of certified pre-owned vehicles. From sporty coupes to family-friendly SUVs, each rigorously inspected for your peace of mind. Cruise over to Dave Gill Chevrolet or visit us online today at DaveGillChevy.com and drive home happy.